Hi, and welcome back to another episode of I Believe in Jesus, but I'm Lady T. Today I spoke with Vashti Hooper. Vashti is a psychic and a medium. Now, I know a lot of Christians struggle with the word psychic. We want the words to line up with our Christian jargon. And when it doesn't, we say it's not of God. But a psychic is simply someone who can see subtle energies outside of the physical realm. If she was in the church, we would say she was a prophetess. It's the same thing. Yet she was in the church, and the church people weren't very nice to her when they understood her gifts. Yeah, that's putting it politely. This is the same church she grew up in since she was 5 years old. Vashti's ability to see spirits, to intuitively diagnose a person's illness, to understand things by remote viewing, to help police and the FBI solve murders, amaze even her. Because she allowed her psychic abilities to lie dormant for over 30 years. She was told it was not of God, it was the devil, and she shut it down. Well, again, if you don't use the right jargon, if your behaviors don't line up with what we do every Sunday, then we'll shut you down. I mean, just think about it. A prophetess, to prophesy in a church, it has to be done in a particular way. People have to line up. They have to stand in front of you, hands up. You anoint the forehead. You use a certain rhythmic tone. You use words like, thus said the Lord. You have to have a certain volume when you speak and when you prophesy. You can say, I see angels around you. But you can't say, I see ancestors around you. Even if you can describe the ancestors to a T. If you calmly sat down with a person, closed your eyes in order to see, and then opened them to tell the person what you just saw, that wouldn't get respected. On the other hand, you could take off your white jacket and slap a row of people while yelling strange syllables, and the people will respond accordingly. They will fall to the floor. And other people will run up and throw money at you on stage. As a matter of fact, if you can do that and raise enough money and show yourself doing that on television, even more people will send you money. You will be considered a highly respectable prophet. You would be the man. Yeah. Therefore, a lot of people with gifts from God have to use their gifts outside of the church where they don't have the limits put on them. They use titles like healer, seer, dream interpreter, medium, medical intuitive, psychic, and it doesn't line up with the church, but it doesn't make them any less effective. We need these gifts. Vashti Hooper, the real medium, is one who operates outside the church. Want to listen in? Thank you for joining me, Vashti. I am so glad to have you here, the real medium. Can you first tell us a little bit about yourself? I'll let you use your own words.
Well, my name is Vashti Hooper. I'm from Louisville, Kentucky. And basically, you know, just knowing your audience, I'm going to introduce myself from kind of that end. I was born and raised in church. We had church services every Friday to bring in the Sabbath in my house. So we were having singing and Bible scriptures and all of that good stuff. And that was my whole life until I turned 18. I went to private school also, so I had Bible classes every day. 5 years old, I experienced my first experience with the other side. I saw someone in my dining room and I immediately went and told my mom and my sister. And of course, my mom's first reaction was always just the devil, because we had just finished our little service and bringing in the Sabbath. So, but come to find out, my mom also has ability. Mm-hmm. So there is a long line of family of that going on. So it's just so much we don't understand. But fast forward, my brother passes at age 40, And these abilities, these things that have been happening to me my whole life that I didn't really acknowledge or understand, they came full circle after he passed. So that's when everything started. And so that's what I've been doing. I've just been helping where I can and as much as I can.
So you knew you had the ability to see in the spirit when you were five, but because you were told that's the devil, what did you do? You tempered it? You ignored it? How did you respond to that all your life up until you were 40?
As a child, my reaction in my head, but you know, you don't go against your mom. My reaction in my head was, no, that was a white man sitting in your dining room in the chair and turned his head and looked at me, interacted. So, but I was like, okay, mom, you know, I'm just going to, you know, okay.
Right. Like so, a 5-year old, I'll believe what you say.
Yes. Right. But the thing is that I now know after my father is white. So I now know that was my ancestors on my father's side that were actually checking in on me.
Mm.
Right. I didn't meet the white side of my family until about 8 years ago to even confirm that information of who that was. So for all those years, it was like, who is this person? But the people that built the house, that built my mom's house, were Caucasian. So I just figured it might have been them. In my head, I knew that, no, that wasn't the devil.
You knew what you knew.
Right. So, but you come to find out, the older I got, my mom eventually told me of her own experiences. Wow. But she had, you know, she gave her life to God at 14 under a tent in Mississippi way back when in 1940 something. So, you know, this is her spiritual beliefs and understanding, and it's going against what she's getting in her mind or what she's experiencing. So that put my mother in a lot of turmoil throughout her life.
I think it's so fascinating that so many people have their talents, their abilities, tempered and denied just because it doesn't fit into the way into the Christian look. It doesn't show up in the Bible, and therefore we.
Right.
And that harms us as a spiritual people.
Well, I do, and I always say this in reference to the Bible. Absolutely, it is God's word, and men, prophets that were given God's word. I believe that, but I do believe that over time, there were translation issues. There were a lot of misunderstandings, misinterpretations, but also I feel like there was a portion of mankind that knew there was something else. And I believe that they weren't sure if humankind could, I don't know exactly what it was, but that portion of things got denied.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to reference a lot of scriptures and how it relates to the spiritual world and how it really, what it really means, what I know it really means.
Yes.
And what other people might interpret it as, like putting on the whole armor. Like that means literally protecting yourselves from negative spirits also.
So what triggered your psychic ability to come back? You had the experience at 5, you downplayed it, and then picked it up again at 40. What happened that helped you to pick it up again?
Oh, my brother's death. Mm. My brother died of cancer. And at that moment, about a month after his death, I was just kind of going through it. And, you know, I was talking to God and I was kind of like, whatever I saw when I was 5, bring it back. In that moment, I just felt like there was more, and I knew there was more just because of the experiences I had had over my lifetime as a teenager. Just being able to tell friends to put on seatbelts before we had an accident, things like that. Like people that grew up with me knew that I was, and I knew. So in that moment when he passed, that's what brought it back. And I believe at that point I was definitely ready for it. So I
Okay.
just
And then what, spirit guides just start coming to you and teaching you at that point?
I saw my second spirit ever from 5 all the way to 40. I hadn't
And so
seen
what?
one since I was little, and I was in the back seat. I was in the car with my boyfriend driving, and he was kind of mourning his boss he had lost, his boss at work had passed. And I saw a man sitting in the back seat, and I knew in that moment that it was back. And I didn't care if my boyfriend thought I was crazy. I just told him that too. I said, I don't care if you think I'm crazy, but. And I described him to a T, down to his clothes, his shirt, his jeans, at what he wore to work on a daily basis type thing. So, it that from that moment on, it was just crazy. Yeah,
Okay.
that's it all
All
came
right.
back.
So at that point, you see your first spirit again, and since you were five, and then you're like, okay, now I'm going
Yeah.
to go out and solve a murder. Is that how you did it? How do you go from nothing
Well,
to that?
I was talking to my cousin who lived in Bermuda. I'd never met her before. And we just kind of connected through the internet. And we had been talking for a couple of years. And I was telling her, oh my gosh, let me tell you what happened to me. And her son had, my cousin had been murdered over in Bermuda. So she started telling me about it, and I started getting that video playing in my head. All these years when I was growing up, people would tell me things, and I would get this video in my head. I thought it was just my imagination. I was literally, when people would tell me things, I was literally seeing the story as they would tell it in my head. So she was telling me, and I just started describing everything. I said, I started asking her, was the house, did it look like this? Was it this color? Was it on a corner? Was it, this, and this? Were the shots to his certain areas of his body and just specific things, the color that the driver was wearing, things like that, that I could not have known. So in
Okay.
that moment, in that moment, I knew that it was more, and I knew then that I could help in that way.
Okay.
So
All right.
that's it was really on then. So
And so did you go volunteer for the detectives? Did you go to police officer police stations and help?
yes, I did. I reached it's so funny, especially with what's going on now here in my state. And it speaks to why I didn't go directly to our old chief who resigned over with the Breonna Taylor case. So let me explain. Oh, yes. Let me tell you about the police here. I have given my card to the head of the FBI here. I have had conference calls with the lead detectives and the Bargetown police over the Crystal Rogers cases, all of those murders in Bardstown. I sat on the phone and I told them everything. And I told them that their own police were the ones who killed Officer Ellis, Jason Ellis. So these are things that people don't, so my information and things like that, I had to learn that some people, I have to look into them also, even our own law enforcement. So
Yes.
what I started doing, I focused on the families. And I started working directly with the families. I did that for 4 years for free, where I would just go out to the murder site if they wanted me to. If not, I would just do it online with them. But I would listen to the police officers talk to these families and give them BS reasons, or just it got sickening. So. That was the that's the situation with law, me and law enforcement in my city.
That's
But
interesting. I have like I said, a couple of friends who are able to see and see murderers, and they said the same thing. They just work with families. They don't even work with the police department.
yeah, I would love to if the pol and if that's another thing. The police won't give the families any information. You know where they get the information from? They get it from me. I tell them what has happened to their children. And then when they get the autopsies a couple years later or a year later, because that's how long it takes sometimes, they see it's exactly what I said.
Yeah.
So it's like coming to me, they get more comfort in knowing what happened. The police won't tell them because they're investigating.
Right.
But they use that as an excuse. And next thing you know, it's 2 and 3 years and these cases haven't been solved.
Yeah, right. They said the same thing. They said the exact same thing. They actually go, they only work with the families and they solve the problem and the family can move on. In the meantime, the police is still, quote unquote, investigating. But the family is, you know, they've gotten what they needed. They've spoken to their loved one. They're able to move on. So, you know, praise God for the gifts, the abilities that you have. It's so absolutely needed. It's so needed at this day and time, right?
Yes.
Okay, so help us out, Vashti, because you know that my audience are Christians who are kind of in between. They're trying to figure this out. Is this of the devil or not? So, and then there are those who have the gift and they don't know how to use it just because it was denied and therefore they haven't been trained properly. So if you're helping out a detective or the police to find someone who's been murdered, you what do? You sit still, you tune out, you engage, you sit a particular way. Tell us, help train those who have the gift and don't know how to use it.
Honestly, what I do, I don't have to see a picture. I don't have to see anything. A person will come to me and I ask for a face picture from the person that I'm doing the session with just because it's easier. But honestly, I've done it without even pictures of people. And I will get a mental vision of the person that I'm talking to, even if I don't see their picture. And I can describe them. I can actually describe the area that they're sitting in. I can describe the inside of the room they're in. That's called remote viewing. And the military uses that for tactical purposes.
Yes.
So they know that they know what we can do. So I want to say that. But I just honestly go in. I sit still and whatever I get in my mind, I just start describing. I'll go look for the spirit first. Whoever steps forward by that person saying, hey, I need you to look into a murder. My brother was murdered. Whoever steps forward, I just start describing that person. And every time it matches, it doesn't matter every single time. So that's how and they'll say, okay, that is the description to the T of my relative. And then that spirit will just start telling me all the information. They will show me license plate numbers. They will give me a vision like a movie almost of what happened. I've gotten house addresses for missing people. I've gotten street names of where they were. So it's.
And so I have a couple of friends who can do this and they actually do this for the police. And one thing I noticed that everyone is a little different. Do you get fragments or do you get a string of the story all the way, a complete story? How does it come to you?
They show it to me in sections. And if I'm wrong, they will stop the information. They won't give me any more information to let me know that I'm missing something. But it sometimes it will flow. Sometimes it will come in chunks. Sometimes it just goes as fast as the family validates the information. It depends on, because it does take energy. So it also depends on the strength of the spirit and the strength of the myself. I have to be sure to be energized enough to go in because it actually uses my energy to do that. Okay. Almost like I'm working. So,
So going back to when you, you said in your 40s is when you got back in touch with it. How did you know that this was true? And it wasn't just in your mind. It wasn't because I had the same challenge in that I've had the ability to understand dreams my entire life. I've had the ability to feel people's pains, physical pain, where I know, but it didn't line up with the Bible. So, You know,
right.
My husband told me, if that's not in the Bible, then that's not of God. And I was like, yeah, you're right. I don't know what I'm feeling then. So,
right.
And so, well, I didn't know if I was just judging. You know, I had the ability to know what people were thinking. And I would tell myself, that's just being judgmental. That's just being judgmental.
But at that point, once you realize that you're able to do that, that is the choice. That is the choice of whether you're going to use it to help or whether you're going to use it to harm. So we all have that within us. And ultimately, it comes down to a choice of what you're going to use it for. For me personally, I knew that my purpose was bigger than doing readings or whatever, because they put me in a 6-month school. For 6 months, my spirit guide taught me how everything worked from A to Z, how the process of death worked, how the process of us coming back and living multiple lifetimes worked. They taught me how everything worked so that I could answer any question that was thrown at me. Like, I knew that I was being taught.
Okay. And so when you say they put you in a school, how did that happen? Did you, what, you stayed at home and you just studied for 6 months or what?
It was a daily basis of an influx of information.
Okay. Did you get it through dreams? Topics. Did you get it through dreams or did you sit and meditate? How did you go to school?
It was while I was awake. It was during the day. It was throughout my day. It was at that point, I had jumped right into working on murders and doing sessions then. So I was still learning a lot also as I would work on these different cases. So, you know, the longer I did it, the more I actually learned on top of but it would be while I was awake. I would get dreams to reassure me that I'm protected, because growing up in the church, that it wasn't a concern for me, but I know that that side is there because there is a war between good and bad.
Okay.
And it's the negative, it's a war between negative spirits and basically whatever did happen in heaven, like, and the fallen angel or whatever happened, there was something that did happen that created that negativity and grew it into what we are now trying to teach people not to be, you know. So at some point there was a split.
Okay.
So there definitely is good and bad.
Okay. All right.
Absolutely.
So we have the good and evil, and that's where we're going to go now. We're going to talk about the spiritual protection that we need. But I've also heard you talk about there are other entities or aliens that are here on the earth as well. Is that different from the good and bad, the war that we're in?
Well, of course, the universe is vast, and we are not the only ones that are in the universe. So these are more beings that are from another, I don't feel, you know, these are from other areas.
Okay.
And other dimensions.
And they're in other dimensions. Okay. Dimensions. And they get, and because you're psychic, when they cross over, they don't cross over to the third dimension, our dimension, you get to see into the other dimension. Is that how you see the other entities?
Well, whether it be just how they are made, whatever cloaking device, whatever it is, the smaller ones, I'm able to see as far as dimensions and seeing through those layers. I think at moments I have those abilities to where I can, but though they are that, like I said, they're more visiting, like spirits visit also, because our home is heaven, which is the spirit world. So these entities are also visiting from their home. That's an easier way to say it.
Okay. Okay. All right. So we have entities that are visiting here on in the third dimension. And do they come here to do anything in particular? Do they come here to harm us, or they're just here kind of playing around? What's going on with these other entities before we have to deal with the spiritual war that we're involved in? What do we have going on?
The ones that, as far as people who have issues in their homes with things being moved or missing, I typically will see these smaller, playful things. So they're on different levels, just like humans are. I'll put it that way. They're on different levels with different agendas, just like us humans.
Okay. All right. So we have entities that are here, or are they energies, or they're literally beings?
From what I see, I see them in their form of what they look like, which are creatures.
Okay. Is that scary? Is that scary, Vastai, that you get to see that?
You know, at first it's always going to be a step back because this never gets old. But in the very beginning, it definitely was very odd and weird and strange and not scary as far as the entities that I saw, but it was more like wow. It was more like the wow factor as far as any other beings that are not human spirits. It
was
more
of a going crazy. Tell me how did you respond to that? So you're your regular old self, and then you decide, okay, I do have this ability, the spiritual psychic ability.
Once I realized that I was seeing my first murder, once the first moment that I realized that I truly could do what I could do, I started shaking all over. It was very overwhelming, and it was a lot of different feelings. It was scary. My boyfriend was like, you need to stop. Just calm down. You're going to have a heart attack. Like, I was literally shaking all over. And it was a lot to take in. I felt weird. I didn't know why me, or I didn't understand all of that in that moment. But what they taught me was that we actually all have this. We all have this connection. Yes.
Okay. So your ability, and I don't like to use the word gift because, you know, like you said, we all have it just on different levels.
Yes.
So your ability allows you to remote view. It allows you to understand a person, how they passed. It allows you to understand death. What else do you do with this?
I can also find sickness in people. I can medically diagnose. And the moment came where my mom had a major, her stroke that paralyzed her. And I told, and this is a testimony. Oh my, she couldn't swallow. And I told her, I said, Mom, you're going to be able to swallow again. And the doctors, they looked at me and said, oh, you sound so very sure. You know, like you almost like, you know, I said, that's because I do know.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I started telling them, I said, just like I know that your grandmother had dark hair. And just like I know your grandmother had blonde hair. And I started describing their relatives to them. And they were in total awe. And I said, and I can also medically diagnose. So that's how I know she will swallow again. So when the head doctor, she looked about like maybe not even 40 yet. Mm-hmm. She asked me to medically diagnose her. I said, oh, well, this doctor's asking me to. I said, okay. And this was at University Hospital, 9th floor, in the stroke division that treated my mom. I looked at her, and it wasn't even a minute after she asked me to do it. I told her that she had a bone deficiency, and that if she wasn't already on medication, that she needed to get on medication for it. Oh, and Yeah. So that's not something you can just look at somebody and, you know, she's at work doing just fine. She's not even 40, don't even look, you know,
Right.
old. So she definitely had a condition that was beyond, you know, before her time and her age. But yeah, I was absolutely right. She told me, she said, I'm already on medication for it. So, and she was, and then all of a sudden, everybody started coming in the room at different times, different people. Well, can you tell me this? Can you tell?
And how do
Am
you
I have.
handle that? How do you handle that?
Well, as long as it's positive, I don't mind. Because I'm a people person and I love talking. I love people. So, you know, but I will tell people in a hot second, I don't look into negative stuff. I only look into guidance, things that are going to help you and help you grow and help correct any issues that are already there. So, but
And
yeah,
that's
do
it. How
medical.
challenge is that when you actually look and you do see something negative? Do you just not see the negative at all?
Oh gosh, I don't look. Sometimes, if that part, like if it's a friend of mine and I know the situation or I know the relationship and I know that they can handle what's going on, like a friend of mine, her father had cancer and she, you know, for various reasons as far as when he was going to pass. And I don't like to look into that, I don't at all. But if they give me the information, then, you know, but since I knew her and I was really good friends with her, I knew that she needed the information for business, you know, for a lot of different reasons, I went ahead and told her.
I really want people to understand, those who are Christians and are dealing with their gifts and their abilities and don't know what to do with them. I really love that you can, explain how you experienced it and how you made the transition, because so
And
many
I don't
people.
mind,
Go
and I
ahead.
don't mind coming on as many times as you want me to talk about whatever, because I, like I said, when they were teaching me, I knew at that moment that it was going to be more than just me doing readings or even working on murders. I felt like I was going to be teaching people also, and it seemed to be like. I noticed when I first started people coming to me telling me, this is happening to me, or this is happening to me. And they did not, it's like there was some sort of awakening happening or something.
Yes, there
So,
is. There truly is. And that's, I totally believe that that is what's going on right now. It's the reason why I encourage people to tap into their dreams, to pay attention to their dreams, because if we're
yes.
too caught up in our conscious fears throughout the day, if we are
Yep.
too analytical or we overthink, then we miss out on all the spiritual messages. But when you fall asleep at night, your subconscious is wide open. And so it's an
Yes.
opportunity for you to tune into spirit if you are intentional about it as you fall asleep.
Listen, I will make sure that we can do it again. I promise, because this is something very close to my heart, because like I said, it was very hard on me. I felt like I was coming out of the closet when I made the announcement that I had abilities in regards to my church members. Like I love, that's my family. That's my church family that I grew up with. Oh,
How
so.
did they respond?
Well, and that I'm getting a little bit emotional because some of them were not, you know, very positive. So, I would have hoped that they would could have just had the conversation instead of just jumping to what is always said. You know, like what my mom jumped and said, you know.
Right.
So it my feelings definitely were hurt because, like I said, I grew up, these people, they knew me when I was born. So it's, you know, it ran deep. But then I have a lot of people that also themselves are in the same area as far as your audience. They know that there's something there, but they've been taught this, you know, so.
Right. They
Oh, yeah.
just don't know how to move. They just don't know how to move forward. Tell us,
Yes.
how can
Yes.
we get connected to you? How can people find you?
Well, I'm on Facebook, Vashti Hooper, or you can reach me on Instagram. the_realmedium, or my booking is therealmediumbooking@gmail.com.
And what do you do for people? Do you do readings or you just do murders? What do you do?
I cover everything. It truly is you coming to me, and anything you need help with, I can help you.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Yes. We so need people with spiritual gifts. I'm glad that you were bold enough to walk in yours. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, there you go. Thanks for tuning in. Hey, do you have a deep philosophical, theological, or metaphysical question? If so, I would love to hear it. And if you're interested in my lightly researched opinion, I would love to give it. You can always contact me one or two ways. Feel free to email me at assistanttoladyt@gmail.com, or you can download the Anchor app, do a search for this show, and then leave a voice message for me. And hey, I'll even consider playing your question, your feedback, or your comment on my next show. Cool, huh? Please share this show with someone else who is on a spiritual journey, and stay tuned for our next episode of I Believe in Jesus, but...